Originating from Las Vegas, Nevada, you're listening to LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas. The following is a live LV Rocks original webcast. Visit LVRocks.com for studio cam and live chat room.
Command. See that the humans remain entertained until the end.
Attention, attention. Presenting His Eminence, our imperious leader.
We're getting it all tonight, and that's the new producer, a new engineer of the program, Mr. Trencher.
And I said names. You go by your name, I'll go by my name.
Everybody else uses a fake name. I'm Sean O'Mac.
We have aliases here for a reason.
Yeah. And welcome to the Garden Spot of Las Vegas. And I'm Sean O'Mac, Sean Daly. You can call me anything you want. Just do not call me late for dinner. And once again, if it's Tuesday night in Las Vegas, it's time for Subject to Discussion time. Once again, live on LVRocks.com as well as on S2DRadio.com. And also part of the ProgressivePodcastNetwork.org and also AntiRadio.net. And, of course, the program is archived over on SpankWagon.net. SpankWagon's on every Friday here in LV Rocks at 6 o'clock until 8 o'clock. Correct? That's supposed to be moving, though, I thought, isn't it?
No, we're no? 6 to 8. Oh, that's okay. Last I knew.
The previous engineer was telling me it might be moving to a different day.
Well, we're looking into it. Oh. It's in discovery stages.
Oh, okay. we just blurted it out a few weeks ago, so sorry.
Oh, this is news to me? Oh, wow. And, I guess I better tell everybody, just to be fair, since you throughout the site.
Yes.
The archive is currently down.
Okay.
For technical reasons, but it will be back up, and I have all of your shows back to the very first
wow.
ones in
Thank
2004.
Thank you very much. And him and I met years ago at the old Ultimate Wrestling Federation compound H, I think. Pepper H and
Warehouse.
H. Warehouse. Actually, I was kind of responsible for you coming to LV Rock, so you either blame me or...
thank you, actually. Definitely love the studio. It's nuances.
Garden Spot of Las Vegas. I'm telling you, we got the pig in a blanket here. We got the rock, some half-naked women on the wall. What the hell else we have?
But we do have the political. We have Oscar Goodman.
There he is. Oh, he's an example for all Las Vegas politicians to follow, I'm telling you.
Well, it's better that or commissioners.
Yeah. And then I lost my spot now. And I'm not used to having an intelligent conversation with the engineer of the program.
Oh, I'll change that by the end of the
show for
you.
Burp a few times for me?
I'm not too gassy today. Thanks, though.
And what else? Tonight, after the after the news to you, we'll be joined by Michael J.W. Stickings of the Reaction Blog. And also from the John Edwards One America Committee blog, and we'll talk about politics as we prepare for the midterms. The reason he's on so many weeks in a row is, of course, 2 weeks ago I had to bump him for Carol Barbie, who is the executive producer of Jericho. So I told him, it was a late-minute bump because she had something to do the following week. She only make it that week. So I said, well, I'll make it up to you, have you on 2 weeks in a row. So that's why he's on. And then I'm going to bring him again next week in the second hour for the review of the elections. We're going to have a midterm election review and preview. Review will be in the second hour. It'll be all politics in the second hour with Michael Stickings, and then Joe Gandelman from the Moderate Voice will be on to wrap up the elections next week. So, and then in the second hour, of course, it'll be the crazy professor, Dr. Koenig Rules. He'll be on to discuss the latest Doctor Who and Battlestar Galactica episodes. And then ending the program, of course, will be the mad rocket scientist, Dr. Net Ranger of MediaBoulevard.com, and also, as well as Media Boulevard Magazine. And he'll be on to discuss the latest in pop culture. And before I get to the news digest, I'm going to go through. Actually, I do have the Time magazine. Last week, some clown at work, as I mentioned, threw it away on me. So I can go through the stats in the Time magazine, the United Stats of America. But in the cover of the headlines of the USA Today, they talk about the who's the best in the NBA. I mean, there's nothing else to talk about except for what the hell's going on in the NBA. So much for the Iraq War. people suffering, people starving. But let's talk about the damn NBA. But and also talk about the feds may mandate sprinkler systems in nursing homes. Apparently, 3,500 older nursing homes do not have sprinkler systems in there, as they're older. And all the new nursing homes have to have sprinkler systems, but these older ones have been exempt because of the age of the homes and not the people in them. And also talk about abstinence below the fold. The abstinence message goes beyond teens. Millions in federal money targeting adults up to 29 years old. And also on the snapshot on the side, I talk about the Halloween spirit. According to an annual survey by the National Retail Federation, more people will celebrate and spend money on Halloween festivities this year. Consumers celebrating Halloween last year was 52.5%. This year is 63.8%. And Halloween per person spending last year is $48.48. This year it's $59.06. So it's pretty amazing. And also in the life section, they talk about the movies, Saw 3, cleaned up at the box office. I saw O'Reilly going off the deep end on that movie on his O'Reilly factor. I mean, what the hell? It's free market. I mean, if nobody wants to see the movie, nobody will pay to watch it. Obviously, there's an audience for it. The movie wouldn't be number one. And what else? Zagat names the top 10 U.S. eateries. Of course, they talk about rounding out the top 10, Matt's Sushi in Beverly Hills was in there, Carlos in Highland Park, Illinois, Mark's American in Houston, and Bacchanalia in Atlanta, the Inn at Little Washington in Washington, Virginia, the Herb Farm in Woodlandville, Washington, and a restaurant in Orlando, which I cannot pronounce, so I won't say it. And I believe also the Wynn Las Vegas is in there as a top 10, and Joel Robichon's restaurant at the MGM is in the Zagat, and some other place, probably the Ritz-Carlton. And then in the Las Vegas Review Journal, they talk about the Jim Gibbons lawyer to seek video. This is this big story that blew up, actually, Fox News, which was here the last couple of days. They've been talking about it all day today, but this big scandal. Jim Gibbons was in a kind of a scuffle with a lovely lady at the McCormick & Schmick's restaurant 2 weeks ago. And there's a big dispute. Either he grabbed her and shoved her against the wall, or he grabbed her to prevent her from falling. So it's a big battle over who's saying, you know, he said, she said. And in the Nevada section, they talk about a money laundering trial, a warrant issued for ex-lawyer. Lawrence Davison, a disbarred attorney, is a no-show on the first day of a federal trial. And talking about some ads, the political ads are going crazy here in Vegas. And what else? And in the Las Vegas Sun section, again, the Las Vegas Sun used to be a separate newspaper, but now it's a section of the Las Vegas Review Journal. And talk about Sig Rogich, a Republican lobbyist, once lobbyist for a firm that gave tapes to Metro. So this is, again, about that restaurant. So there's a little hanky-panky going on there. So with that, before I get to the news to you, and some of the that Time article from last week, it's very interesting. It said I do have the whole thing here now, and they go through the where we live and the metropolitan areas. They have New York City is 18,747,000 in New York City metropolitan area. Chicago is 9.4 million, and Philadelphia metro area is 5.8 million, and see, LA is 12.9 million. So again, if you get the Time magazine, which is still out, they give you the breakdown of where the United States stands right now. Let's see, I went through some of this last week. Faces in a crowd again. White, 239.9 million, 80.1% of the country is white. Asian is 13.1 million, or 4.4% of the population. Black is 38.3 million, or 12.8% of the country. American Indian and Alaska Native, 2.9 million, or 1% of the country. Hispanic of any race is 44.2 million, 14.8% of the country is Hispanic. And Native Hawaiian and other Pacific Islander, 0.52 million, 0.2%. So, interesting. And I also talk about who's having babies. Hispanics are the only group having more than enough children to replace themselves in the population. More unmarried women are giving birth, but births by teenage girls are at their lowest rate. So total fertility rate, births per women ages 15 to 44, white is 1.85, black is 2.02, American Indian is 1.73, Asian is 1.90, and Hispanic is 2.82, which is surpassing the amount of deaths. So they're actually more than replenishing their supply of the population. And we get what we earn, and the for every 1,000 working people, cashiers, for every 1,000 working people, there are 27 cashiers who earn a median salary of $16,260. Registered nurses, 18 for every 1,000, making $54,670. Waitresses, $14,200. So, and truck drivers are for every 1,000, there's 12 truck drivers. Elementary school teachers for every 1,000, for every 1,000 working people, there are 11 elementary school teachers. Amazing. Should be more than that. Carpenters for every 1,000, there are 7 carpenters, making 35,000. For every 1,000 working people, there are 5 fast food cooks. For every, this is amazing, for every 1,000 working people, there are 4 lawyers. I think that's wrong. It should be like for every 1,000, should be 4,000 lawyers, you know, making an average $98,000 a year. For every 1,000 working people, there are 4 bartenders. And for every 1,000 working people, there are 3 computer programmers. So, interesting. And all work, no play. The average annual weeks of work for the United States is 46.2 per year. Italy, we're the highest of the big 5 countries they're talking about. Italy will be next, is 41.1. Britain is 40.8, France is 40.7, and Germany is 40.6. So it's amazing. And they have vacations required by law. Of course, here in the United States, it's 0. Over in Italy, it's 4 weeks are required by law. Same thing with Britain. Same thing with Germany. France is 5 weeks. And of actual vacation taken per week in the year, United States is 3.9 weeks of vacation. Italy, 7.9 weeks of vacation. Now, Germany, 7.8, and France is 7.0. 7 weeks of vacation a year they get over there. Amazing. And one more thing before I get into the headlines. They talk about what we buy. Consumer spending, average daily purchases of popular products. We buy every day apparently 18,000 bottles of Santa Margherita Pinot Grigio. 35 million 12-ounce servings of Bud Light. 34 Porsche 911s, 911s, whatever the hell it is. I don't have a car like that, so whatever the hell it is. 628 Toyota Camry 4-cylinder LEs. 125,000 Barbie dolls. 150,000 Hot Wheels. 123,287 Trojan ultra-thin condoms. 14,100 first response pregnancy tests. That kind of fits in together. You think that number would be a little more balanced, but oh well. 50 million 12-ounce cans of Pepsi. Holy cow. 8 million 20-ounce bottles of Aquafina water. Amazing. Let's see, we buy 3,160 men's Rogaine 5% solution. We buy 4,760 CoverGirl Very Black Lash Exact mascaras. Oh, that's interesting. 24,000 bags of Whiskas cat food. 66,000 Pedigree Jumbone dog bone treats. 1.9 million Krispy Kreme donuts of the original glaze. 87,000 Slim Fast. it's amazing, though. 234,000 cartons of 64-ounce Tropicana Pure Premium No Pulp orange juice. And 153,424 pounds of Starbucks coffee. Can you believe that? An X Phoenix body spray, 28,000 cans of that damn X spray. And Dove Beauty bars of soap, 1.8 million. Burger King Whoppers, 2,400,000 Whoppers a day we buy. And Domino's Pizza, only 536,000 Domino's pepperoni pizzas. So it's just, it's amazing. If you get the magazine, it's just 88,000 Apple iPods, 300,000 packs of Pampers, 20,000 Dell notebook computers, 6 million Federal Express packages are shipped, and only 500,000 Hostess Twinkies. So that was the interesting, though. Interesting, everyone. There we go. So I have very interesting. I'm glad I finally got to that. I thought it'd be very informative to my audience. And also, they have in here, I have the mental floss. They have their annual top 10 list. So let me see. Something I want to say for the pop culture segment about the top 10 TV shows that changed our world. They talk about here top 10 facts about Iraq that you won't hear on the nightly news. But Iraq is actually two countries. So it's actually Kurdistan and the rest of Iraq. And Iraq was created by Winston Churchill, amazingly enough, from Britain. And number three, Iraq is diverse, but it just doesn't look that way. Number four, Iraq needs trash collectors. That picture of trash pretty much strewn all over Iraq. Obviously, the chickens are all picking through the trash. I think they see a thumb and a couple of fingers they're pulling out of the trash.
Imagine that at the KFC.
No trans fats, though. Keep that in mind. Coming soon.
Yeah.
Five, Iraq is short on gas. Six, Iraqis love orange soda and bad action movies. And Iraq isn't putting out as much oil as it used to. Interesting. Eight, the Iraqi Navy is built strong. I didn't know they had a Navy. Iraq is taken to the air. 10, Iraqi sheep, they ride shotgun in their trucks. They show a sheep in the back of a pickup with a cute little dog there. Oh, so that was the top 10 thing. There's another one that we'll get to with the pop culture segment there about the top 10 TV shows that have changed our world. So now I'll get into the news to you headlines that were sent in from friends and family and listeners from around the country. Of course, today we had Bob Barker. He's going to be retiring after 50 years on TV. Bob Barker is heading toward his last Showcase Showdown, his final Come On Down. The silver-haired daytime TV icon is retiring in June, he told the Associated Press today. He says he'll be 83 years old on December 12th, and he's decided to retire while he's still young. He's young-minded. I saw him in the movie, beat the hell out of Adam Sandler, remember that? And then he'll hang up his microphone after 35 years as a host of The Price is Right. I wonder if I'll still be here in 35 years hosting a subject to discussion. Good Lord, hope not. I don't know. And 50 years overall in television, blah, blah, blah. He's been considering retiring for 10 years. So CBS is actively looking for a replacement. Actually, have the show here. I think the guy that does the show here at the Bally's would be good as a replacement. Todd Newton, he does a lot of shows on the E! Network, so he might be good as a replacement for Barker. And also we had from Frederick, Michigan, police say an alligator was nabbed in a drug dispute. Your money or your alligator, police questioned. Police say an armed man went to the home of a drug dealer to collect on a debt. When the dealer couldn't pay, the collector made off with the dealer's 18-inch long pet alligator. The quotes, they said, I think he was going to hold the alligator for ransom or something, said the Crawford County Sheriff Kirk Wakefield, and told the Traverse County newspaper. The alleged gator napping arose from a September 25th drug bust at a house west of Frederick, blah, blah, a rural village 200 miles north of Detroit. Police confiscated a cachet of drugs, including marijuana, methamphetamine, cocaine, crack cocaine, and ecstasy pills, plus $900 in cash and two handguns. So apparently the guy stole the clown's alligator as made a hold him for ransom. So just after midnight on Sunday, he walked inside a sawed-off, walked inside the guy who stole the alligator. He walked inside the guy who owns the money, his house, with a sawed-off shotgun. So he was there to collect that money. Finding none, he took the alligator instead. And also we had from today from Berlin, Germany, truck spills 2 tons of pig heads on road. Yes, and that's for supper for everybody. A truck spilled 2 tons of pig's heads on a road in western Germany, giving passing drivers a shock on the night before Halloween, police said. No kidding. The accident happened Monday night after the truck turned off a highway. As the driver accelerated from a traffic light, the door on his trailer opened, spilling the severed heads onto the road. It took the fire service, helped by a forklift truck an hour and a half to load the heads back into the truck. I don't know. I heard about losing your head, but that's ridiculous, you know? I don't know. Or is it giving heads? bad jokes. That's the story of this program. A lot of bad jokes. I heard about losing your head, but that's ridiculous. Anyway, and also today from Jerseyville, Illinois, which I'm still trying to find out where the hell this town's at, but a Bible-wielding teen killed with stun gun. There you go. Must be a Republican. Illinois authorities said a teenager holding a Bible shouting, "I want Jesus," died after being... He's meeting Jesus right now. He found him. "I want Jesus" died after being shocked by a police stun gun. In a statement obtained Tuesday by the Associated Press, police in Jerseyville, about 40 miles north of St. Louis, said that 17-year-old Roger Holyfield would not acknowledge officers who approached him, and he continued yelling, "I want Jesus." Police said the 17-year-old was shocked twice with a stun gun after he became combative with the officers after who were trying to subdue him. He died Sunday at a St. Louis hospital. An investigation is underway. A police statement said the department has been using stun guns for about 5 months. A recent Amnesty International report counted at least 156 deaths across the United States related to police stun guns. The group has urged police departments to suspend the use of taser guns pending more study. Interesting. Very interesting. And... yes?
Let me interrupt for just a moment, if I may.
No, please.
What's the percentage of people that die by gunshot from a police officer's handgun or rifle or shotgun compared to that of a taser? You know, okay, that's all. I just wanted to bring that up, just interject a little bit.
We had a sound effect, and I don't know.
If I knew where your regular engineer hid stuff, the fact that people can hear you is a miracle.
Am I coming through loud and clear in the chat room?
Apparently.
Apparently they can hear me.
Keeping them quiet.
Yeah. I didn't acknowledge the chat room. Excuse me. Chris Ted 1940, Giorgio Net Ranger, and myself. And the studio's in the chat room, too. Wait, the studio's in there. Wow, the whole studio.
The studio is very technically savvy.
Today.
Don't mock the studio. Yeah.
And today, also from Noblesville, Indiana, a woman arrested in diabetic baby's death. She defends herself. How she can defend herself for that, I have no clue. A Noblesville woman arrested on suspicion of not providing proper nourishment and medical treatment for her diabetic infant daughter who died. She said Monday that she did the best she could with the child. Amber Shanklin, 27, was arrested Friday on a warrant charging her 2 counts of neglect of a dependent in connection with the May death of her 11-month-old daughter, Haley Shanklin. Terrible. Terrible. And also we had this from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Thrill-seeking teens find corpse and then a man with a machete. There you go. Authorities in Idaho, I must have been looking for potatoes. Huh? Authorities in Idaho said some teenagers out for a Halloween scare got a lot more fright than they bargained for. According to the sheriff's detectives, a group had been at a Halloween party in Coeur d'Alene Friday night when they decided to go ding-dong ditching, they say, which means ringing doorbells and running away. While doing that, they noticed a house under construction. They thought it would be scary inside, so they went in. When the teens entered the home, they saw what looked like bags hanging from the rafters in the unfinished basement. They shot some BB guns and threw chunks of lumber at it, according to the sheriff's department. One teen told investigators that when his BB hit the object, it sounded like a coat or a pair of pants, according to the Spokesman Review newspaper. Then they left and came back with a flashlight to discover it was the body of a man hanging from the rafters. They screamed and went back to the party, the newspaper reported. So they got somebody to go back to the house with them. But then when they arrived, the owner of the house under construction, a 65-year-old Norman Giddings, met them with a machete and told them to get down on the ground while he summoned authorities. A report said Giddings told the teens he would bust their heads open. What a nice guy he is. Whose grandpa is that? And the paper reported Giddings told deputies he was at his nearby home when a neighbor called to tell him that there were people inside the home he was having built. So he told the investigators he took his daughter, that's nice, to take your daughter with you, and a machete for protection when he went in to investigate. And the coroner said that the man who was hanging in the rafters in the basement of the house had hung himself shortly before the teens had arrived. So that's a nice little memory for those children. Huh? And...
well, imagine that's your brand new home. That's your brand new pride and joy.
Anymore.
Someone killed themselves in your brand new home.
Not anymore. And then the next one's from Franklin, New Hampshire. Husband says wife was stabbed in the face by neighbor. Oh, a man from Franklin said his wife was stabbed in the face. I don't understand this. How can you? I don't know. I don't know how you can stab somebody in the face, but she was stabbed several times in the face by a neighbor on Monday morning. Tom Glein said a woman entered their South Main Street home and attacked his wife, Sarah, without provocation. There she is, standing over her with a knife, and she's saying, why are you doing this to my mother? Why are you trying to put my mother away? I don't know. This woman just sounds like she just went off the deep end. Glein said the woman grabbed a kitchen knife and went after his wife, who had been asleep. A melee soon broke out. Glines tried subduing the suspect, but then the woman's elderly mother came in holding a can of pepper spray. She started spraying me. Pepper spray was everywhere. Finally, we tackled her, and we tackled the daughter. We were We were laying on top of these two women. There's blood everywhere. It's just horrible. It's like a Halloween story from hell. Melissa Mullen, 39, of Nashua, was charged with second-degree assault. Galline says wife was airlifted to Dartmouth Hitchcock Medical Center in Lebanon, where she is listed in stable condition late on Monday. Holy cow. Man, horrible stories there. These are terrible. I hope she had benefits. and also today, vitamins may help ovulation. There you go. Some infertile women who could improve their chances by having children by taking multivitamin tablets, according to research here in the United States, has suggested. The dietary supplements can protect against failure to ovulate, according to the Harvard Medical School study of 18,000 nurses over 8 years. Women who took multivitamins six times a week were 40% less likely to fail to ovulate than those who took none. Less frequent use had a smaller effect. Ovulation failure affects 8.4% of those in Britain. I don't know what the hell this has got to do with this. It's a U.S. study. But anyway, who have problems conceiving. So whatever. And also from Houston, big rig gets stuck under overpass. An 18-wheeler filled with soda was lodged under an overpass in southeast Houston for several hours on Tuesday. Now, pardon me here. Don't they usually have the height of the damn overpass when the truckers are coming to? Don't they know how high their damn trucks are before they go underneath the damn thing? Hello. Houston police said the truck driver tried to turn too sharply onto Clear Lake City Boulevard from, well, whatever. The back wheels of the trailer ended up on the curb. Oh, I see. And the middle of the trailer hit the ground when it split. What the? Who knows? The truck was filled about 20,000 pounds of soda, which had to be loaded into another truck before the crews could begin to move the damaged trailer. The intersection was closed to traffic for about 6 hours. So amazing. And also in Florida, Castleberry, Florida, adult nightclub offers flu shots. They should give you more than that. Should give you some tetanus shots while they're at it. You've been in there lately. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. OG is a lovely place to spend your weekend evening, especially watching the WWE pay-per-view specials every month on Sundays at the Olympic Garden at the Entertainment Complex. I should trash another place. Little Darlings, there you go. I'll trash them instead. They're not affiliated with the LV Rocks. Adult nightclub offers, already said that. Castleberry, Florida, an adult nightclub in Castleberry, Florida is offering flu shots for senior citizens, though, Monday, according to the local news. Rachel's, here's an error, good double entendre. Rachel's Steakhouse, which is an adult club near, I don't know how the hell a steakhouse can be an adult club, but whatever. An adult club near Orlando International Airport. That must be, what's it called? It's near Disney World. It must be Fantasyland? Land of make-believe, probably. wait a minute. They're offering a cube steak. The adult club near Orlando International Airport is offering vaccines from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Monday. The cost for the vaccines is $25, but they'll be offered free for all Castleberry and Seminole County senior citizens. Rachel's Steakhouse is located at 401 Samorin Boulevard in Castleberry, Florida. Interesting. So all the senior citizens had to go to the adult club to get a free flu shot. Interesting. And from Las Cruces, Mexico, a 5-year-old tests positive for drugs. Dana Jarvis, 54, is facing charges after a urine test leads to a case of alleged child abuse. Las Cruces police say a 5-year-old boy tested positive for a large dose of the painkiller Vicodin, but that's not all. The urine test done at Memorial Medical Center also found opiates and marijuana in his system. According to Las Cruces Sun News, the Guardian confessed to being addicted to Vicodin herself and that the boy may have accidentally taken the pills. As for the pot, the woman claims her roommate is a chronic smoker, and that's how it may ended up in the boy's system. Interesting. Interesting. I don't know about that. I think it's a bunch of BS there, but who knows. And the next one's from Stowe Township in Pennsylvania. Is 911 outage to blame for infant's death? The death of a 5-month-old Stowe Township boy has left some wondering who is to blame. The police said the baby's father called 911 around 6:30 Wednesday after he found his son Elijah unresponsive. But he had trouble getting an operator online because of an outage with the system. It took paramedics 19 minutes to respond. Officials would not confirm that the system's problems had anything to do with the infant's death. Oh, that's called prevent lawsuit. And it's that's terrible. We got a problem here in Las Vegas. The average wait time for 911 is like 14 minutes to get a response from the police. And caffeine-stoked energy drinks worry docs. That's also a story they had about the 7-Eleven is dropping that drink called cocaine they were offering for a while. They dropped that out of outrage from parents. More than 500 new energy drinks launched worldwide this year, and coffee fans are probably too old to understand why, blah, blah, blah. So I'm skipping this. This is whoever sent me this really sent everything into the whole damn article. Energy drinks aren't merely popular with young people. They attract fan mail on their own MySpace pages. You're kidding me. I mean, these energy drinks got their own faces on MySpace? That's ridiculous. I never heard of such a thing. Actually, subject to discussion, have a MySpace board. And let me see here. They track fan mail on their own MySpace pages. They spawn urban legends. They get reviewed by bloggers. Oh, hello. And they taste like carbonated cough syrup. Oh. And vying for the dollars of teenagers with promises of weight loss, increased endurance, and legal highs, new products join top sellers Red Bull, Monster, and Rockstar make up a $3.4 billion a year industry that grew 80% last year. Unbelievable. 31% of U.S. teenagers say they drink energy drinks, according to the Simon's research. Oh, that reminds me, before I bring on Michael Stickings, that this week at the hotel I had several celebrity encounters. Yes, I had Gene Simmons came in to see me. It was nice to see him. I didn't measure his tongue or anything, but
did he have his camera crew behind him?
No, he was there for I don't know what he was there for. The Pure was having over at the Caesars. They're having a party there. He was hosting that, and then Shepard Smith from Fox News. I saw him. And Ivanka Trump. I proposed to her twice in 2 minutes. So I think that on that happy note, and she refused both times. We'll bring on Michael Stickings from the Reaction Bar. There we go. And Michael Stickings, how are you there, sir?
Sean, how are you today?
Oh, wonderful. How are you?
It's good to be back.
Good to be back.
I'm good. Things are good.
You're going to be coming a semi-regular, and then you'll be back next week for our election review.
That'll be very exciting.
Yes.
I've tried to keep my enthusiasm in check, my confidence in check. I've tried not to get ahead of myself, but I'm really looking forward to next Tuesday.
Really? A tone of sarcasm in your voice. No?
No, seriously.
Oh, really?
I really am. Well, I mean, I think, you know, there are so many close races,
yes.
So many interesting candidates running, so many storylines. You know, as a political junkie, I'm just fascinated in what happens next week.
Yes, it should be exciting.
As more of a partisan Democrat these days, I'm looking forward to what I think could be very positive results.
Yeah, and, I was trying to see if, I just got an email from Joe Gannon. I asked him if maybe you can do it during the first hour as well. Maybe just be in the chat room. You could, you know, drop in some results or something while we're in the first hour. I don't know if you can do that or not, but because Joe said, because Joe Gannon's going to be on after you in the second hour next week, but he said he'll think about the chat. He already wants to follow the results and posts on this election. So the only time he'll be able to get away from his computer is it'll be a business lunch and be on my program, so...
I'll certainly see what I can do. My my intention is to do a bit of live blogging of the results as soon as the polls close.
Okay.
I'm not going to do sort of a blow by blow.
Oh no, no.
People, you know, but I mean just some interesting observations along the way.
Sure. Or
so
any.
I look forward to it, to coming on and talking about it for half an hour.
It should be exciting.
Joe is sort of a. As I mentioned to you recently, is sort of a blog mentor for me. I write regularly at the Moderate Voice, and Joe, I really look up to him. He's a great blogger and a great person.
Yeah, actually, he was the first blogger I ever had on the program was Joe Gannon.
Right.
So
yeah.
It should be interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, it'll be good. Yeah, and I'll certainly join in the conversation as much as I can.
Very good. Of course, the big news today is of course the Kerry fiasco with what he said. He said about Bush, but.
Yeah.
Of course, leave it to the the right wing media cabal that they've twisted around. That he was saying about the troops and everything. What do you think about that?
You know, I've read his comments over and over again, and it took me a while to understand them.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of it's sort of the tempest in a teapot. I think you know, but the Bush people are looking for anything at this point to turn on the Democrats. it was a stupid comment to some degree. I think it was an unnecessary comment, and as we know, he can put his foot in his mouth. But I mean, honestly, he's making a point that Michael Moore made in Fahrenheit 9/11, which is that, you know, generally speaking, if you have an education in the United States, you are not likely not going to be in the military,
mm-hmm.
or if you are, you won't be one of the grunts on the battlefield in Iraq.
Oh, true.
I mean, it's a valid comment, I suppose. I just think it was, you know, untimely a week before the election.
Yeah, I wish he would have kept his mouth shut, you know, at least after the election. Same thing with the dean. Dean's keeping his mouth shut as well because he has that foot in the mouth disease as well.
See, the thing is, a lot of people are criticizing the Democrats for not having a viable alternative plan when it comes to Iraq or anything else for that matter. And my response to that is that they are the opposition party.
Mm-hmm.
And unlike opposition parties in parliamentary systems like here in Canada or in the UK, the opposition party is not united. And besides, the Republicans are doing ample work destroying themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't think Democrats need to be saying too much at this point.
No.
You know what I mean? Let the Republicans self-destruct, and then going towards 08, we can see what the Democratic contenders say about Iraq and foreign policy and so forth.
Well, they seem to think that this might be just the thing that the GOP needs to, you know, bash the Democrats over the head, that they don't care about the troops. All they care about is, you know, smearing the GOP. I mean, it's what they're grabbing a hold of this and running with it. I mean, it's amazing.
Well, it's starting already. I don't know if you're a regular watcher of The Daily Show. They're in Ohio this week, which is extremely interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the segments last night featured a montage of various Republicans spewing their latest talking points. And it seems that with a week left before the election, Republicans have essentially reduced everything down to two very simple points, which is Democrats are soft on terrorism, and we'll raise your taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And you know, so they're going to keep hammering that over and over and over again, at least on a national level. I mean, I know they're going after, say, stem cell research in Missouri and same-sex marriage in states like South Dakota. But, I mean, nationally, those are the two issues. It sort of looks pathetic and desperate at this point, but, I mean, they're going to keep hammering the Democrats for being allegedly soft on terrorism at this point. They're going to try to terrify voters to the polls to vote Republican.
Yeah, and well, I mean, it's sad. I mean, because you see a lot of these races. Like now, I'm on the Yahoo News, and they have the I don't know if you found the Ohio race, but yep. Sherrod Brown and Mike DeWine. Sherrod Brown's up by 54% to DeWine's 43%. So that's pretty commanding. That's 11%. So I mean, it's looking good. They say the Democrats need six seats in the Senate. We need 15 seats in the House.
Yeah.
I don't know. They say it's more likely that we'll get the House and not the Senate, which I'm all for. I don't want the Democrats taking over everything because they'll be just like the GOP. They'll be drunk with power and, you know, just the House. That way you could put a check on Bush, you know?
Yeah.
And in the Tennessee race, I mean, they're, you know, beating the daylights out of Congressman Harold Ford. Yeah, and then that ad last week was ridiculous with that, you know, that blonde. Oh, hi, you know, call me Harold. You know, it's horrible.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. It's just, and then and now they're saying that he's not fit. I mean, he doesn't have the whatever it is to be a senator. He doesn't have the
gravitas.
Yeah, yeah, he's single. He's young. You know,
yeah.
He goes to the Playboy Super Bowl party. I mean, that mean, you know, you go to Playboy Club. That, you know, it means you can't be a senator, huh?
Yeah. What does that even mean? I mean, I don't even know what that means. But I mean, obviously they're hoping they're playing. This is a subtle way of playing the race card in Tennessee, right? I mean the young successful black man who is something of a who is seen as a kind of, and I want to use my words delicately here, who is presented as some kind of sexual predator on white women.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's the subtext here, right? That this guy, you know, it's bad enough that he goes to the Playboy to the Playboy mansion or the
mm-hmm.
Playboy party, but again, he's a black man, and in some parts of the country, that still plays well, right? I mean, it's sort of like Alan's macaca comment in Virginia.
Yeah.
You know, I know I know you live in a fairly progressive city. I certainly live in a very progressive city, Toronto. But in large parts of the U.S., that sort of thing goes over pretty well. So yeah. I think that's what they're hoping for.
Yeah, well, I mean, actually, and also I was talking to the engineer today, Trencher, about, who was here at the hotel I work in, and we had several. In fact, I mentioned Harold Dean was also. I came face to face with Harold Dean, or Howard Dean, excuse me.
Howard Dean.
And he was very nice, and he asked me if I voted, and I said yes. He goes, "You early voted?" And I said yes, and he gave me a thumbs up. I mean, the Democrats are getting more and more of a push on this early voting or absentee voting. I don't think they have such a big confidence in this computers, huh?
Yeah. I mean, this is some awfully interesting stuff. When some disks were stolen, some Diebold disks were stolen in Maryland and turned up at the. We're turned in eventually. This was reported a couple of weeks ago, if I think back. And recent allegations that the manufacturer of voting machines is connected somehow to Venezuela, not Diebold, but another company. I mean, and of course, you know, Lou Dobbs is all over this issue night after night after night, and a very good blog, by the way, the Brad blog out of California, which is focusing on this issue extremely well. Look, I mean, you know, this election will come down to turnout, like all elections in the U.S. in such a partisan climate. And obviously, it worked well in 2004 when enough values voters, as they're called, came out in places like Ohio, spurred to the polls probably by issues like same-sex marriage. There was an article in the Post recently suggesting that that's not going to happen this time, that liberals are just as motivated to go to the polls. I think the landscape has shifted somewhat, and I think Karl Rove's strategy of specific voter targeting, going to specific demographics, specific communities, with specific messages, isn't really going to work this time. It's not going to work because Bush's numbers are so low. Because evangelicals, as we've seen, are departing the Republicans, not least because of what was revealed in David Kuo's book. And again, Democrats are angry. Liberals are angry, right? I mean, we were devastated in 2004. Devastated.
Yeah, it was. I said last week you were a little down. I said, well, there's always another election. We can't just fall down on your laurels. There's always another fight down the road.
Yeah. And we don't want it to happen again.
No. But I mean, this Kerry thing bothers me, that they're gonna use this to I can see the ads coming. He proves that the Democrats can care less about the troops. So, yeah, I could just see it. I mean, he's handed them a golden club to hit him over the head with. But I see the Democrats are firing back as well. Apparently, they're ready. They're firing back with these Iraq ads now, blasting them at Bush. 3,000 dead, 20,000 wounded, yada yada, on and on and on. So at least they've gotten their gotten some idea from Rove's playbook how to fire back at the Republicans. Have these ads ready to go.
Well, Democrats seem to be doing a much better job than they have done in previous election cycles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think they're ready for anything the Republicans have to throw at them right now.
Actually, I'm on the NPR's website, npr.org, and they have a forecast by Ken Rudin. And right now he's seeing the Democrats having 211 seats after the election and the Republicans 203, and he still is listing 21 as toss-ups. So it's interesting.
I'm looking at one of the blogs that's covering this really well is MyDD, and Chris Bowers has a 2006 House forecast, and he's projecting a Democratic gain of 24 to 29 seats, which would give the Democrats 227 to 232. I've also seen Charlie Cook, who's widely considered to be one of the leading prognosticators, suggesting that it could be even more than that if everything goes Democrats' way, because it could sort of be like 94, where there's a tipping point somewhere, and the floodgates open up. And I mean, we'll see how some of the close races break next week, but I mean, things definitely look good in the House. I think it would be a major disappointment at this point if Democrats were to lose the House. The Senate is where it's extremely tight. And, you know, a case could be made that maybe Democrats shouldn't win the Senate, that it wouldn't be good to win the Senate.
Mm,
because
true.
Even if they do win the Senate, it would be, you know, 51-49, and nothing would get done.
No, no.
And for the next 2 years, Democrats could be seen as obstructionist and, you know, could be seen as doing nothing but pursuing in investigations of the Bush administration, wasting everyone's time. I mean, in a way, it helps to control the House mm-hmm. so that committee chairmen like John Dingell and John Conyers would have the subpoena power and would be able to investigate some of Bush's malfeasance and negligence.
Exactly.
But a fully democratic Congress then would have certain expectations, and I'm not sure that would be good going into 2008.
Yeah. Actually, Darth Carey's in the chat room. Last week it was Darth Pelosi.
that would be great.
He's saying that Carey shows his true colors. Dean screams. What else? He's saying, why would a Canadian care about which party wins?
Can I answer that question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm one quarter American.
There you go.
My mother's American from Alabama, so I have relatives down south. I'm actually a descendant by marriage of Davy Crockett's.
Hmm.
So that's fairly all American, I think. And I went to high school in New Jersey. I went to college at Tufts in Boston, and you know, this is sort of my area.
And he's asking, how about having some fun asking what happens if the Democrats don't take over Congress?
Well, yeah.
You just fight another day. I mean, they got 2 more years and then the presidential election is coming up. I really think if the Democrats don't take over either House of Congress, we'll stand a better chance of, taking the White House in 2008, the way things are going now.
It goes back to what I just said. Mm-hmm. I think controlling a narrow Congress during two lame duck years of Bush's presidency mm-hmm. wouldn't really accomplish much, because I highly doubt that Congress will be a legislative body over the next 2 years. It will be an investigative body.
Mm-hmm.
It will generally be pursuing investigations. There won't be much in the way of serious legislation, right? Bush has no such thing as a domestic agenda right now.
Mm-hmm.
All we're going to get are both sides sniping at each other. And because there's no successor on the Republican side, you're going to have fairly dynamic races on both sides for the presidential nomination.
Yeah.
And that's going to dominate the next 2 years.
Yeah,
I mean, we're going to hear more about Hillary Clinton and Feingold and Bayh and McCain mm-hmm. and Giuliani and the rest of them, Romney and so forth. And I think if Democrats control Congress, there will suddenly be an expectation to do something that they're not really in a position to do.
Yeah. Well, actually,
which isn't to say I'm rooting against them, by the way. I'm still, you know, I would still like to see them take the Senate as well, but. Mm. I do think if they didn't win the House, given the poll numbers and given the expectations now, it would be almost as devastating as 2004. I think with everything going Democrats' way right now, and we're mm-hmm. talking Iraq, we're talking Katrina, we're talking Mark Foley, everything is going Democrats' way. If Democrats, even in this environment, can't win the House,
they're in trouble.
I think they're in trouble as a political
Absolutely.
Party.
And then, actually, I'm on the Yahoo News. They have an article about from the Associated Press about Democrats' increased hope of winning the House. Mark Mehlman, who's a Democratic pollster, he is saying, he says an academic models predict Democratic gains of between 14 and 32 seats.
Yeah.
And then Elmendorf is another pollster. He said a majority of 15 to 20 seats is possible, indicating gains of 20 to 35 seats on Election Day. Holy cow. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, there's apparently more than 50 Republican held seats are competitive. So
yeah, there are. Geez. There are a number of these competitive seats, many mm-hmm. of them held by Republicans, many of them now breaking towards the Democrats. You see the Republicans pulling their money out of certain races, essentially giving up on them. I think probably hoping at best to pull even. Things look extremely good in the House. And what's interesting too, from a from the perspective of internal Democratic Party politics, is that many of the Netroots candidates are doing extremely well. Guys like Admiral Joe Sestak in Pennsylvania, whom I think is just an incredible candidate and would be an asset to the House. All over the country, Netroots, candidates supported by, for example, by Fire Dog Lake's Blue America campaign, they're doing extremely well. I mean, they won't all win, but I think the fact that they're doing well suggests that there has been something of a seismic shift in the political landscape over the past couple of years, and that's why, as I say, I think if Democrats lose, the day after would just be, I can't imagine how Democrats would feel. I mean, I that would be it. Well, I mean, they would have to consider themselves to be a perpetual opposition party.
Well, I mean, I would imagine Dean will take it on the chin if they do lose. He'll take it on the chin for his 50-state strategy. I know there's kind of a disagreement between him and Rahm Emanuel over Rahm Emanuel wants to spend the money on these, you know, select races that are competitive, whereas Dean wants to spend the money in all the 50 states to build up a real national structure for the party. I mean, I could see Dean's, plan there, but, I mean, I also could see Rahm Emanuel, but he wants to win now, not 15 years from now, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I don't want to engage in exaggeration here, but I think Democrats are very good at waging war against each other, and that's why I think if they do lose the House, there would be the accusations would start flying, the blame game would start, and it would be Howard Dean, Rahm Emanuel, the bloggers like Koss and the other Netroots, MoveOn.org, who's to blame for this? How did this possibly happen? I mean, it was bad enough when Kerry lost in 2004. And generally speaking, everyone could fall back on the view that Rove had run an extremely good campaign and that Kerry was not a very good candidate. There were reasons why Democrats lost in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
well,
I don't know. I, again, what do you say?
Well,
they have to win.
Oh yeah. Well, they have to win at least the House.
And they're going to. I mean, unless al-Zawahiri is killed, say, in the next week or so, or something happens that changes things dramatically, I think there's no doubt. I think the Senate is more interesting because you have 8 or 9 extremely close races. Everything seems to be coming down to Missouri, Virginia, New Jersey. I mean, those are going to be races to watch. I mean, I think those are going to be touch and go all next Tuesday.
Well, especially Tennessee. I know New Jersey, Menendez is pulling out in front. I think he's like 11 points up on his opponent as well. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. And there's also, what's her name, Tammy Duckworth in Illinois. She's into a struggle. I don't think she's going to pull out that seat. That's Henry Hyde's district there. And I used to live near that area. That's solid Republican territory there. And he's retiring, but I wouldn't imagine, I forget who she's running against, but the GOP candidate's going to pull that out. And especially they had John McCain there yesterday campaigning.
Well, she's one of the Netroots Netroots candidates. And I'm trying to think. I saw some poll results in recent days. She's not doing badly, I think. And again, maybe the fact that she's not doing badly speaks well of where the Democrats are right now.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of that, I hate to say it, I mean, people call you for polls, oh, you're going to vote for this poor lady who lost both of her legs and one of her arms in Iraq, or you're going to vote for, I think, I think when they poll you, you say what you think the pollster wants you to, say,
Yeah.
Oh, of course I'm going to vote for the lady who lost both of their legs, or I'm not, and then they get in the poll, in a booth, oh, you're crazy, I'm voting for the Republican,
Yeah, no, I mean, it's possible.
Same thing with a poll. Yeah. Would you ever vote for an African American for president? Oh yeah, sure. Yeah, and then when they get in the polling place, oh no. You know what I mean? I think a lot of that's those telephone polls are BS. Huh?
Well, the unfortunate reality of our liberal democracy is that, and it's the same in my country as it is in yours, is that voters are not necessarily all that well educated with respect to policy, and so many of their decisions, I think, and I mean, we can get into voter psychology somewhat, but I think most of their decisions come down to guttural instincts, right? I mean, you're Republican because everyone in your family's been Republican, or you're Republican because somehow you dislike gays, or you're Democratic because you're working class, or and I think that's for instance is what's happening in a place like Tennessee where mm-hmm. you know voters. You know, it's a fairly conservative state to begin with, and voters will go to the polls, and what will they know? I mean, they won't necessarily know where Ford stands on the issues. Even in many cases, say, working-class Tennesseans. I mean, this goes back to sort of what's the matter with Kansas. But I mean, even working-class Tennesseans may vote against Ford, even though Ford perhaps represents their own economic interests. Why will they do that? Because, A, he's a black man. B, he parties at Playboy.
Yeah.
And see, he may be a threat to white women,
oh.
right? And so you put all of those together, and voters will say, "Well, of course I'm voting for Corker because Ford, you know, something just isn't right about him."
It's amazing, isn't it?
And it's unfortunate to say, but I think, you know, people, you know, most people don't follow politics the way you and I do, or the way your listeners do. They just don't. They don't have the time. They don't have the inclination, and so they vote according to irrational feelings, right?
Yeah, it's sad. I mean, and then actually Darth Carey is saying, wait, war and national disasters are going the Democrats' way. So what an attitude. I don't think it's an attitude. It's just everything that's happened. If the Democrats don't take advantage of it and reclaim the House, I mean, they'll tell you how inept the party is then.
Yeah,
you know, it's anything if it was the GOP. You know, if Clinton's Zippergate happened during the elections, you know, the Republicans would have seized on that. You know?
Yeah.
You know, so
the Democrats have made an effort, and I think it's been fairly successful so far to nationalize these elections, to nationalize the races, to have all of them be individual referendums on Bush's presidency. And that means on issues like Iraq and Katrina and, Courtgate and Mark Foley and whatever else has been going on. And Republicans have been trying to play the character game, whether it's in, say, Ohio against soon-to-be Governor Strickland or against Ford or against Menendez in New Jersey. With that failing, they're sort of now throwing out their last cards, hoping mm-hmm. they have something left, and that's Democrats are basically allies of the terrorists.
Oh yeah, that and they're hammering Pelosi as do you really want a San Francisco Democrat in charge of the House second in line after the president? I mean, give me a break.
They're playing to the culture of fear, and again, you know, the culture of fear sort of works, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it worked in 2004. Independent and moderate voters were still at the time very much concerned about jihadist terrorism. And let's face it, I mean, 9/11 was much more recent in 2004. And the base, the evangelical voters and other right-wing voters around the country were afraid of gays getting married. And Republicans were successfully able to exploit both of those demographics and waged an incredible campaign, essentially, to turn out the vote, and they triumphed.
Yeah.
And again, it's not going to happen now, I think, because too many people know better. The culture of fear isn't going to work this time.
Yeah, I just want to see that on TV when she raises her hand there on the at the House of Representatives and takes the oath and becomes the highest elected official in our country's history. You know, in January there, it'd be an incredible. It's about time. I mean, this is the United States. How come we haven't had a woman Speaker of the House? How come we haven't had a woman president or vice president? How come we haven't had a black male, black woman president? But this is the United States. You know, we're supposed to be equal opportunity for all. You know, how come Britain has had a woman prime minister?
Yeah.
Liberia has a woman president.
Yeah.
On and on and on. I mean, I think isn't it about time that this country steps into the 21st century? I mean, hello, right?
Well, get ready for Clinton Obama 2008.
No, are you serious? I hope not.
No, look, I wrote a post not too long ago called "The Character of Nancy Pelosi," and I mean, she's been dragged through the mud by Republicans and labeled all sorts of things.
Oh yeah, she's a bitch and everything else, right?
Yeah, and yet, okay, I've never much cared for Nancy Pelosi's public mm-hmm. persona. From everything I've heard, she's extremely genial in private.
Mm-hmm.
But who's? I mean, again, in other years, maybe that would have worked. This year, you put Pelosi and her various faults up against the Republican leadership.
Mm.
Denny Hastert.
Yeah.
Tom DeLay, who's of course still, you know, still present in, at least in spirit.
Mm.
You know,
Mark
Boehner
Foley
and or Boehner as he prefers to be called,
yeah.
and Roy Blount and the rest of them. I mean, these are, you know, and all the corruption in the Republican Party is reflected.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pelosi doesn't look so bad anymore, does she?
No, no.
Well, hey, it's not so bad. Let's give her a chance.
Yeah. Well, Michael, we'll let you go. We'll talk to you next week during the second hour for an election review.
That's great.
Okay.
I look forward to it, and hopefully there'll be good news coming from places like Virginia, which we didn't talk about today, but Webb looks like he's surging a bit. So
absolutely.
That's a key race to follow.
Well, I don't want to jinx anybody, but we'll talk to you next week.
We'll see.
All right.
Take it easy, Sean.
Have a good night.
Great.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was Michael J.W. Stickings of the reaction.blogspot.com as well as the John Edwards One America Committee blog. And now we will take our break for the second hour. And when we come back, hopefully we'll have the mad professor, Dr. Koenig Rules, for his Galactica and Doctor Who review. And then following him would be the mad rocket scientist, Dr. Nett Ranger of MediaBoulevard.com with a pop culture discussion. And I'm Sean O'Mac. We'll be right back in just a couple of minutes.
Working in the lab late one night, when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my love Notari in the castle east, to the master bedroom where the vampires feast, the ghouls all came from their humble abodes to catch a jolt from my electrodes.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
It did the monster mash. Zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guests included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son. The scene was rocking, oh, we're digging the sounds. He got on chains backed by his baying hounds. The coffin bangers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five. They played the monster mash.
The monster mash.
And it was a graveyard smash.
They played the mash.
It's caught on in a flash.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash.
Wow.
Out from his coffin, Drac's voice did ring.
Wow.
Seems he was troubled by just one thing.
Wow. Wow.
Opened the lid and shook his fist and said,
wow,
whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash. It's now a graveyard smash.
It's now the mash.
It's caught on in a flash.
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash.
Wow.
Now everything's cool. Drac's a part of the band.
Wow.
And my monster mash is the hit of the land.
Wow.
For
wow,
you, the living, this mash was meant to.
Wow.
When you get to my door, tell them Boris sent
then
you.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
The monster mash.
And do my graveyard smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on with a flash.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
Wow.
Mash fool.
Wow.
Easy, Igor, you impetuous
monster
young
mash.
Boy.
Wow.
Mash fool.
Monster mash. Wow.
Mm.
Monster mash.
I saw the thing coming out of the sky. It had a one long horn and one big eye. Like a Mr. Shaking in a city. It looks like a purple people eater to me. It was a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
One-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
A one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater. Sure looks strange to me.
One-eyed.
Oh, well, he came down to earth and he lit in a tree. I said, Mr. Purple People Eater, don't eat me. I heard him say in a voice so gruff,
I wouldn't eat you, 'cause you're so tough.
It was a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
One-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
One-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater. Sure looks strange to me.
One horn.
I said, Mr. Purple People Eater, what's your line? He said, eating purple people, and it sure is fine. But that's not the reason that I came to land.
Rock and roll band.
Well, bless my soul, rock and roll, flying purple people eater. Pigeon toed undergrowth, flying purple people eater.
We wear short shorts.
Friendly little people eater. What a sight to see.
Oh!
And then he swung from the tree and he lit on the ground and he started to rock, really rocking around. It was a crazy ditty with a swinging tune.
Sing a bop. Boom,
bam, boom. Hey, bless my soul, rock and roll, flying purple people eater. Pigeon toed undergrowth, flying purple people eater.
I like short shorts,
flying purple people eater.
What a sight to see.
Purple people.
Really went on his way, and then what do you know? I saw him last night on a TV show. He was blowing it out, really knocking him dead. Playing rock and roll music through the horn in his head.
And Dr. Koenig Rules, the Mad Professor. Oh. Are you there, sir?
Yes, I am.
Oh, we retired the TARDIS for the week, but
you did.
How are you? That's okay. How are you?
Okay.
You're okay?
Can't complain.
Nah. Happy Halloween to you.
Happy Halloween to you.
Yes.
Trick or treat.
Trick or treat. Yes, it's trick or treat here outside the studio. Every week it's trick or treat here at the LVRX
right.
studio.
Vegas, right?
With the bums and the the hookers out in front.
Really? Okay.
Whenever you come to Vegas, I'll bring you by the garden spot of Las Vegas. You know what I mean, right?
Well, I've been to Vegas twice now.
Oh, but not to the garden spot of Las Vegas. Have you been?
There is a garden spot?
That's meant sarcastically, is the garden spot of Las Vegas. So,
garden
anyway.
Garden of Eden, right?
Yeah.
Is it before the fall or after the fall?
Anyway, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
And then we want to get your first, before we review the episodes from Who and Galactica, I asked you to come for your trick-or-treats this season so far.
Yes.
For Who. What's your trick-or-treat? What
okay,
you like?
My treat for Who is The Girl in the Fireplace so far.
Very good.
I really liked
yes,
that
so
episode.
Did I. That's excellent. I love when they do those time episodes because
yes.
The costumes are incredible. The sets are meticulously done. And then the yellow hue they put on everything, you know, it makes it look old. You know what I'm saying? Outstanding,
right.
Outstanding.
So,
yes.
So I would say School Reunion with Sarah Jane Smith coming back is a close second.
Really? What's that was a treat. What's the trick?
The trick,
what did you like?
Let me see, in terms of Who's second season, didn't I tell you that in an email? I'm trying to think now which one was the trick.
Oh, I don't think I kept that, but...
Okay, what did they show? New Earth.
New Earth, you didn't like that one?
That
was kind of, it was good, but it was a little different than what we're used to with Who. I mean, it was a little more, it was good at that, Mo Howard. Excitingly.
But I didn't like bringing back Cassandra because she blew up. If you remember the first season, and so it didn't make any sense to bring back Cassandra in the second season.
Yeah, I couldn't understand that either. I mean, we obviously saw her get blown up, but then they said, oh, that was the front of me, now it's the back. And, of course, she was talking about her ass.
I know. I mean, she blew up all over the place, if you remember. There were parts of her flying all over the place and on all the people. So, I mean, it was front, back. I mean, it seemed a little bit hokey. So I would say New Earth was probably, if there was any disappointing episode in The Who, it probably was the very first one. Though I did enjoy Tennant pretending to be her.
That was some. Yeah, it was good acting. And Rose pretending to be her and all that. Yeah. And
are you? I had a question for you. Are you liking the Tennant portrayal of the Doctor? I know you liked Eccleston.
I like Eccleston. It's okay, but I like Who. Go ahead, Trencher.
Let me just.
He loves Who
because I love Doctor Who. I mean, watching it on PBS when I was a kid growing up. But
how old are you, by the way?
I'm only 30.
Oh, okay. So 21 years younger than me.
There you go. So
there you go.
There you go. Watching it though, if it's my opinion that Tennant does not have the depth of emotion that Eccleston did.
Yeah.
Really?
I don't feel the connection between Tennant and Rose the way I did the Ninth Doctor and Rose. Just not there.
Oh, but wait a minute. You should see Tennant and Rose what they start doing.
What's coming?
Progress.
Oh.
And, you know, oh.
And
yeah.
I hope so.
And then
Eccleston was okay with Rose, but he had this condescending attitude toward Rose's mother, toward Mickey. At least Tennant seems like it's all one big happy family. He wants to deal with Rose's mother at times. Mickey, he has now on board. Eccleston would never bring Mickey on board. Right?
That's true. True.
True. See, I speak truth.
That's right. Now, what about the trick-or-treats for Galactica so far?
Exodus Part 2.
That's a treat.
Was excellent.
Yes.
I mean, I think the special effects on Exodus Part 2 rivaled the miniseries. I mean, I was so impressed with that. Even some of the original series fans loved the special effects of Exodus Part 2. They said if any one of these episodes was like the old Galactica, it was Exodus Part 2. So I really enjoyed the effects of that. That was awesome,
even though
it didn't do very well in the ratings.
Yeah,
right?
I don't know what they did this week. I'd imagine the ratings would be lower because it wasn't an effects-laden episode. Of course, we know Exodus Part 2 did a 1.4 rating, which is horrible for sci-fi.
Which didn't make any sense because Exodus Part 1 did a 1.6.
Well,
it actually went down for the conclusion of the episode, which didn't make much sense at all.
Well, I don't know. And then they got the people. We said this before. We've been saying this ever since day one. I think they should take the episodes off of iTunes and make the people watch the damn show on Sci-Fi Channel. And then the second thing, move Galactica over to Sunday nights or Monday nights or wherever it is off of Friday. So make people watch
it. Friday nights. The Death Kiss, except, of course, Jennifer Love Hewitt's Ghost Whisperer is still doing very well.
Yeah, and then I also think...
So would you want to watch Jennifer Love Hewitt or David Tennant? Jennifer Love Hewitt or David Tennant?
As long as Jennifer Love Hewitt's got the perky tits, yes. And then another thing, I think they should flip-flop Heroes with Who. I think Heroes should lead into Galactica and not
Who. Yeah, I agree.
Who.
Did you see Heroes this week?
Oh, my God, it was outstanding.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that mirror reflection of the girl. I mean, you're really beginning to wonder what that is all about. And the guy, the cheerleader's father, I mean, setting up the cheerleader by bringing in bogus biological parents. I'm really beginning to like Heroes.
Yeah, it's very good. And then, so you did your treat for Galactica. What about your trick for Galactica?
I would say, probably I would agree with some of the people that the new Caprica arc, was a little bit too long. If they started out with Exodus Part 1 and Part 2, that would have been so good. But I think, even though I did like the two-hour premiere, I would say, for 2 hours, some people were saying, did it really progress from the beginning of 201 to the end of 202? Was there much of a progression there? So it reminded me a lot of where Battlestar Galactica was in season 2.
Yeah.
The first two episodes.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm sure you would agree. If they started out with Exodus Part 1 and Part 2, I bet you the ratings would still be up there.
I agree. I think my with Galactica, my treat was Exodus Part 2. The trick. I didn't like that opening scene in the first episode in the season premiere when they did all that long sex scene with Ellen and the Cavill.
Right.
That just went too long. It was too graphic, especially at the earlier hour. I mean, I just didn't. I could see Shone a little bit of that, but not the extent of her, writhing on top
of
him and all that. What the hell?
The two parts did have Dean Stockwell, and he's pretty good. He sort of disappeared in Exodus Part 2.
Oh, he'll
probably
be back.
Because they can't pay his salary every week, right?
True. And then what else?
Collaborators, though, I guess I'm sort of partial to Collaborators because the one that they just showed,
Richard Hatch,
because I really liked sort of like the council that they had with Ty and Tyro on it, trying the people that collaborated with the Cylons and sending them out into the airlock. I mean,
I thought it was very
something
good.
About it. It was sort of like, if you remember the movie with Michael Douglas, The Star Chamber.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, with the judges that were deciding who was guilty and who was innocent. It reminded me a little bit of that. And so I liked Collaborators a little bit better than I liked the 201.
Yeah, it was good. And then they tied up some of that, why the circle was created. Actually, Zarek created he did that just so he could save Roslyn from having to put up with that stuff. And then she gave everybody a blanket pardon.
I did like the fact that she's having Tom Zarek now as vice president.
Yeah, so we'll see more of Richard Hatch.
So, yeah, Richard Hatch might be coming into his own on the show, which I don't know. For some reason, I found Richard Hatch's character to be pretty interesting the first season, but by the second season, I don't know where it was going with Sirek, with Tom. So this season might really effectively launch Richard Hatch as maybe a major star of the show. I think Tyro, Aaron Douglas, is doing an outstanding job.
Oh.
He should be one of the primary cast.
Absolutely. Same thing with Michael Hogan as Ty.
Yes.
Ty has really been the star.
He's doing a great job this season.
Absolutely.
He's doing wonderful. I mean, it seemed like as they made him less an alcoholic and more as a coper, he's come into his own now. But when he was just an alcoholic and giving in to the booze and giving in to his wife, it seemed like he was too vulnerable. Now he seems like he's more hardened. Well, he's still actually recovering from his wife's death that he engineered, but he's a very interesting character.
Canuck is in the chat room, and he's asking, do you like stories with effects or drama? I like a nice, healthy mix of both. Exodus Part 2 had a nice mix of both. Last week was drama laden episode. We saw Jammer get launched out of the launch bay. He got launched out of there, and then Gaeta got exonerated by Tyrell because Tyrell remembered he was the one who was feeding him all the information and all that. So that was good. It was a good episode. Now next week they're setting up that something with Ty and Starbuck are teaming up because they still got some hard feelings over what happened to them down on New Caprica, and they're teaming up, and there's some kind of civil war breaking out between the people who stayed up with the fleet and those who went down to New Caprica. So
that's right, and this is one of the first ones that I think takes the Cylon point of view aboard the base ship, too, because now, they've been sort of doing that a little bit with Bautar up on the base star. I thought that was cool in Collaborators, too, where they had one of the Centurions guarding him. And
yes.
The Centurion looked a little bit different, didn't it, from other episodes with the Centurions in it, it just looked a little bit different, more muscular. I don't know what it was.
I don't know. It looked a little different, and then I like that couch he was laying on. Murrow was so.
Oh, yeah.
And the red light kept flashing around him.
You do realize that in this fifth episode now, they are going to be mentioning a new type of Cylon, according to David Icke, who did an interview for IF magazine that I think just came out on the internet, that they're going to be referring to a hybrid type of Cylon. So a new type of Cylon is going to be introduced in this next episode.
Interesting. And then
then they talk about, too, did you see the coming attractions?
About Earth. About
Am
Earth.
I a Cylon? Remember when Blotar says that?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And then also there are going to be the Cylons are going to be looking for Earth, too. It's going to be the chase for Earth.
I have a feeling that what Moore is doing is he said that there's about two more seasons left in the show. I would say there will be at least a season four. If not, it will go five seasons, unless the ratings really plummet.
Yeah. Now, Chambers has to go back to who. Now, who did the Rise of the Cybermen, which I thought was outstanding episode?
The Rise of the Cybermen was okay. I mean, I would not rate it the best, unfortunately, because the creatures, I think the Daleks, myself, are a little bit scarier than the Cybermen. The Cybermen, it was that boot-stomping sort of stormtrooper Nazi type of image that sort of, they did it to death almost. I mean, it was pretty funny. They're racing all over the place like the Three Stooges. Whoop, there's the Cybermen there. Whoop, they go over there. So,
well, that's a part of the show.
It's a little bit comical, you know?
Yeah, but that's a part of the show, though. It's a little more comedy.
I
like the opening scene where all of a sudden the time vortex is gone and the TARDIS crashes down.
Yes, where they enter a parallel world, and Mickey knows all about parallel worlds, I guess because he watched Sliders or something like that. And it's really interesting how they use the Time Lords, or the lack of the Time Lords now, where the Time Lords would never have allowed this to happen. So I'm wondering if they're really going to be dealing with the Time Lords or any that survived by the third season.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was a good episode, and Rose looked up and saw the blimps overhead, and then and then she sees her father's face on the poster, and she realizes her father's alive, Pete Tyler, and they did a whole thing alternate Earth, her father's rich and everything else, and her mother's a little more refined, but still kind of
what
a
about
bitch.
Rose?
Yeah, Rose is a dog.
That was great.
You see her face when she said, "Come here," and then she showed. They said, "Oh, here comes Rose down." And he picks up, and Rose sees it's a dog.
Yeah, yeah.
She liked that very much,
right?
But I like how they did this whole thing. They always do this thing with Pete Tyler. He's talking to the Rose, and he goes, "Somehow I feel comfortable with you. Somehow I know you." They did that the first time he was on too.
It's like Father's Day, right?
Yeah, it's similar to that. He feels the connection there. He can't figure it out yet, but he feels a connection to Rose.
Doctor Who has done a very interesting thing in terms of it's developed its own mythology from its first new season, so that they can go back and develop some of the characters that they already have from the first season, like Cassandra from New Earth, and then the father from episode 5. So it's pretty good that they can refer to their own mythology now from the new series. And I love the part with Mickey meeting Ricky.
Oh, that was classic, too. That was classic. And he went to see his grandmother, and his grandmother, she slaps him, "Don't you dare, fool an old lady," or whatever she said. You know, and he sees the torn carpet where she fell down the stairs in his reality. He told her, "I told you to fix that carpeting, that rug," or it was, and then they take him away. It was good.
It was very good.
They did a little bit like a nod towards the original Superman movie, because in the TARDIS, the Doctor looks down, sees the little green light, there like Superman did in the damn Fortress.
Right.
Remember? No, it's Superman 2. And he sees
Superman
the little,
the
little crystal. Now, is he going to pick the thing and throw it into the snow or what? Is the Doctor
throw it in? Speaking of Superman, it looks like Bryan Singer is going to be doing Superman Returns 2.
Oh.
That he's just signed on to do a sequel to Superman Returns. So apparently it didn't make as much money as they wanted, but enough so that instead of 200 something million dollars, it's going to be about $140, $150 million for the sequel.
Interesting. Actually, Giorgio is in the chat room, and he's saying that the Cylon base star is the new hybrid.
Oh,
human base star. Okay. So we'll see.
Did you see also in the coming attractions, or did they show it in Collaborators, where there looks like there's another resurrection ship?
Yes.
Was that in Collaborators, or it was? I think so, right?
Yeah,
when they pan in on the base stars, they show a resurrection ship.
So they'll have to take that one out now again.
That's right.
And that's right. What else? And then Rose goes down and talks to her, not her mother, but her mother on this other alternate Earth.
Right.
And her mother says, "Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? You're just a hired help. How dare you talk to me like that?" Right?
Poor Rose. don't you feel for her? She's trying to find her way with the doctor.
And then Lumic,
the doctor might dump her because she really feels, based on what Sarah Jane said, that he just leaves you stranded somewhere. So poor Rose. And then she wishes her father was there. And when her father is there, it's sort of like they sort of bond, but not for long. And then she wishes her mother and Mickey are there. I mean, it almost seems like they're setting up Rose to have a type of fall or a catastrophe in the finale, which probably might happen,
Yeah. Yeah, it was out. I like the doctor. And then, actually, in this different Earth, Britain has a president, not a prime minister. So I thought that was interesting. And what else? And then at the end of the episode with the Cybermen saying that they're going to be deleted, right?
Right. In fact, the voice, Nicholas Briggs, who does the voice of the Cybermen, also does the voice of the Daleks, just for your information.
Wow.
So, instead of deleted, exterminate. In fact, I think they're preparing one for a combination of Daleks and Cybermen by the finale.
Wow. Actually, a question for you from the chat room.
Well,
how do you feel about the Battlestar Galactica magazine being canceled?
Battlestar Galactica, unlike Star Trek that had a name for itself in the 60s, is catering to a more specialized audience. Mm-hmm. And so it probably, with all the labor that took to produce the magazine, it probably was not being as effectively sold as it could be. For instance, Sci-Fi Channel could certainly promote a lot of this Battlestar Galactica merchandise, from DVDs to, they've even got books now.
Yeah, they're not
out on Galactica. But they're not promoting it. So people may not know that there's this whole rich type of publicity and type of things with it. And so you're not going to get some of the fans that would ordinarily gravitate toward magazines like that. But I think the Star Trek magazines work better than the Galactica, just because Star Trek's been around for, 40-something years?
Still,
some people associate Galactica with the cheap. Well, it wasn't cheap. It cost about $1 million each episode in the 70s. But they associate it with the cheaper Galactica of the 70s. So.
Well, I just, the magazine, I think they should cut the edges on them. It looked like it was really from the, some of that stuff. I'm saying that garbage they shouldn't have put in there. They had the, Cara Thrace's training manual. I'm like, come on. Some of it's for children, and it's not a children's show, And
it's certainly not a children's show.
Training manual stuff is, nobody believes that stuff. And then they had now they're having a thing with Laura Roslin's diary. I'm like,
they even say
the words.
They did that with Twin Peaks, I think, with Laura Palmer's diary stuff like that.
And they even say the words are by Barbara Jones, and not even Laura Roslin. The words are by somebody else. So they tell you right there, they're not her. It's like, bother? Why don't they just, have, maybe interviews with the stars, recaps of the storylines, or something from the production crew, the effects people, stuff like that.
Right.
I think that would have gone over much better than having this Cara Thrace's training manual and all that stuff.
I know.
Anyway. Well, Koenig, we'll let you go. End of our time together.
Okay, it sounds to me next week it's going to be all politics.
Yeah,
right?
We'll bring it back in 2 weeks. This next week we're going to do it all politics because it's the election night.
That's right.
Okay.
Well, that would be fine.
All right. See you.
I hope you vote for President Clinton, right?
Absolutely. Anyway. All right, Cody, okay. We'll let you go. Have a good night.
You too.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. And that was the Mad Professor, Dr. Koenig Rules, with our Battlestar Galactica and Doctor Who review. Very good. It's nice. I like Who. I just wish maybe they'll, because the Who has been drawn like a 1.1 on sci-fi. So I still think they should flip-flop Who with Heroes and have Heroes lead into Galactica.
One thing just interesting to note, the BBC America is looking to pick up the Doctor Who episodes.
Oh, absolutely. And they air them uncut, too. That'd be great. Do we have a BBC out here in Vegas? BBC America? I don't know. We'll find out. But that'd be great. BBC America, how about that? If they pick up Who, and I wonder if they, can they air that while Who is on Sci-Fi Channel?
I think it's going to be, I think they can.
Wow. What about Torchwood? Are they going to pick up Torchwood?
Nothing on Torchwood yet, although I have some VCDs I'm enjoying at home. So I'm already watching Torchwood myself.
Ooh, it's supposed to be outstanding, isn't it?
It's interesting.
Yeah.
The second episode really, really plays on Captain Jack and, let's just say sexuality.
Interesting. I really think they should flip-flop Heroes and Who, as Who is more of a family-friendly kind of a show. Heroes is a little more dramatic, and Heroes is pretty hot on NBC right now. So I think they should get the carryover audience, people who want to see it on Friday, and that audience will spill over into Galactica. That's what I think. Either that or move Heroes and Galactica to a different night, Monday, Tuesday, whatever the hell, and have that maybe with the ECW business there on Tuesday nights. But anyway, I think. I'll be joined by the mad rocket scientist, Dr. Net Ranger. There he comes. And Dr. Net Ranger, are you there, sir?
Hey, Sean. Yeah.
Hi, how are you doing there?
Oh, great. How are you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think from the chat room saying that BBC America will be rerunning the Eccleston episode starting in November. They don't have the Tennants yet. So that's something from Invincor actually runs the one of the Doctor Who sites. Doctor Who DVDFAQ.com website. So very good guy. Anyway, good. Dr. Net Ranger from Media Boulevard, how are you?
Good. Yes. Doing well.
And now next week, I don't know, I sent you an email, but next week we'll have you come on in the first hour, if that's all right with you, because the second hour is going to be all politics.
I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. And it's the big time. You go into the first hour, it's the big time hour. We promote you. No, okay. And what else? Wait a minute. How, our little contest, it really hasn't set the world on fire, has it?
Yeah, we have no entries.
No entry so far in our Battlestar Galactica contest.
Yeah, I think Giorgio and Invincer are going to enter.
Oh, that's good. At least somebody's going to win. I don't know. Maybe it's too many words. I think maybe we should set, 750 words to 2,500 words?
Yeah, that's like two or three good paragraphs.
How about 25 words or less? That'd be all we can get.
Yeah, just a reminder, though, we have a complete set of DVDs for BSG and that.
Season 1, season 2, season 2.0, 2.5, and the whole thing, right? And the story so far.
Do you have them? I mean, if no one enters, I guess we'll just give them to you.
Well, I don't have them, but I like to see some listener and get them. If we don't get an entry, maybe we can give it. I like to see. Maybe do you know any soldier or something that would want them? I mean, that'd be an ideal. Something good to do with them.
Definitely. I mean, I'm sure we'll get some interest.
Something.
We'll definitely find something.
Yeah, or you could give him to James Dobson up there. Maybe he could do something.
I can run him over.
Take those DVDs and stick them up his ass. That's what I like to do with them. But anyway, now your trick-or-treat tonight, a treat is our Battlestar Galactica contest.
Right.
And what's your treat?
Well, I was going to go on into Torchwood.
Torchwood, yes. Trencher, he is already viewing Torchwood, and he seems to like it very much, right? Thumbs up.
Yeah, I have been, too. Just kind of a reminder, Media Boulevard is kind of U.S. and U.K. owned. And, actually, right now, we've got a lot of people wanting to sue us. That's kind of, I guess, the trick or the horror fest.
Really?
So everybody listening, we're a U.K. company. file suit in the UK. But yeah, anyway, so we get the BBC stuff too.
Wow.
Torchwood, I finally watched it this weekend. I've had it for a week or so sitting there, and I have to say, damn, that is a amazing show. I mean,
wow.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say it's better than Who. It's better than Battlestar.
Oh, my God.
It's probably the best show on the air right now.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Better than Battlestar. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
it can't be. I've been talking about Galactica for almost 2 years on this show now. It can't be. It can't be a better show on than Galactica, I'm telling you.
I don't know.
Except for Jericho.
Yeah.
Is it better than Jericho?
I have to say, yeah.
Oh, God. How about Heroes? You know, better than Heroes?
It's better than Heroes.
Oh.
It's I'm serious. It's I kind of delayed watching it.
Wow.
I finally watched it and it's like, oh. When the thing is, I don't think we're going to get it in the US. I mean,
that's ridiculous. We should get it. You know, they say Torchwood, it's the sexual nature. Oh, for Christ. The first season of Galactica, hello, that was very sexual in nature as well. We got that, unvarnished. What's wrong with Torchwood? I mean, it's time, for the audience, the networks to treat the American Beauty audience with some kind of damn respect. Yeah, I mean, I think we can handle a bisexual, whatever the hell he is, bounty hunter, huh?
Yeah.
I would hope.
You know, we've got, like, Dexter, the serial killer hunting the other serial killers. But Torchwood is, it's violent and sexual. And, like Captain Jack, I think it's either first or second episode, gets shot in the forehead. it's kind of pretty violent.
It's nothing we've seen before. What do we see on CSI? What do we see on all these other shows?
I mean, have, 7 o'clock on primetime, you can have bodies all over the place.
Yeah, that's right.
Sex involved. But, the first episode, it's an alien that feeds on orgasmic energy, so...
Uh-oh. I mean, it's different. What do we want more reality shows? Do you want game shows? Do you want these, all these CSI rip-offs and spin-offs and all that? I mean, I don't know. I mean, the programmers of these networks, they just, amaze me. They're idiots, right?
Yeah.
Except for CBS, because they give us Jericho. Thumbs up to CBS. And they put on a good night, too. I see Galactica's got to be moved off of Sundays with Heroes and put Heroes on before Galactica on like on Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday or something like that. They got to get Galactica off of Fridays.
I think so. They don't listen to us, I guess.
No. Yeah, but you say Torchwood is better than Galactica, better than Heroes even, and Jericho.
I honestly think Torchwood is right now the best show on the air.
What?
And they're talking about in the chat room, too, I guess. Episode 3 is even better from what they're saying.
Really? Now, the challenge for you, is it better than Friday Night Lights?
Oh, yeah.
Whoa, that's big coming from you. Wow. You're a big Friday Night Lights viewer. And Gorefest, are we talking about Gorefest? Blood and Water.
Yeah, that's something interesting happening. It's actually kind of like the sharks circling, and this is about YouTube and Google.
Uh-oh.
Everybody coming out of the woodwork. I mean, we talked about this, I guess, a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
YouTube got purchased for $1.6 billion.
Unbelievable.
From Google. And basically, everybody's coming out of the woodwork now. Anybody who has ever done anything. I mean, I actually, I don't blame them. If we had some videos here, I'd be suing them, too. But, Viacom's coming up. A bunch of stuff from Comedy Central. They made them take it down this week. Last week, it was a big Japanese conglomerate. A bunch of anime stuff was taken down. So
wow,
everybody's going after him. CBS is the only one doing it right, though, so far. CBS again is they're going to charge every CBS content that comes up. They're going to take part of the ad revenue for it.
Well, that's only fair. I mean, crying out loud.
That makes a lot of sense. It's like they're getting free advertising. It's like why take it down? I mean, use the thing.
Yeah, now you have a treat. Death of a President flops at the box office. Yeah, we said this before. I mean, I'm not a fan of, I'm free market. Well, put it out there. If there's no market for it, it'll go away. And it looks like that's exactly what it's doing. It's going away, right?
Yeah, and I was really happy to hear about that. You know, I'm not a Bush supporter by any means. I probably wouldn't be listening to your show, but,
he
is our president.
He's a Doctor Who fan.
Yeah.
He wishes there was a TARDIS in the White House. Take him the hell out of there.
Yeah, but still, it's a foreign country, a UK you know, UK film coming out, you know, Death of the President. I was really kind of glad to hear it swapping.
Yeah.
I think they paid $1 million to get the rights for it, and so far it's made like $283,000. So.
Well, I'm sure they'll have it come out in DVD. They'll make up some of that probably in a DVD and all that.
I'll probably see it eventually. I mean, just, you know, kind of tend to watch everything that comes out, but...
Yeah, well, it's supposedly it's shot in Chicago, so that's one reason for me to want to see it, because it's my hometown. So, yeah, I'll see it just to see, look at the landmarks and everything. And I haven't been back there in so long. Look what the, see what the city looks like right now. And let me see what else. TV news. A trick you have is Vanished. It's going to be losing its episodes, huh?
Yeah, well, they just announced that. You know, Vanished, we talked about that a while back. They cut the main character, Gil Harold. They just basically cut him out. That's when I have my new theme song, which I think you played a couple of
times. Oh, the toilet flushing, yes.
But, yeah, they announced they're going to come back with it, but they definitely are cutting it to 13. They told them to wrap it up, you know, in the story. So it's kind of interesting. Vanished and Kidnapped were both, you know, very similar plot.
Yeah.
And, they both got moved to kind of the graveyard. Vanished on Friday, Kidnapped on Saturday night.
Yeah, now, let's see. About Studio 60 said it was canceled. Thank the Lord, right? That was a horrible show.
I don't know. I mean, it's got a lot of good fans, but you know, that's not confirmed yet. NBC is being really coy this year about pretty much every announcement, but came out actually on Fox News, broke the story on Sunday, saying that Studio 60 was gone. So we'll see. Probably tomorrow or the next day we'll get a formal announcement about it. But they actually, last Friday, they actually ordered three more scripts, so people were kind of saying, oh, you know, it's going to be around, but...
I don't know about that. And what else? Now, yeah, Friday Night Lights, we were talking about that before, how the ratings seem to be, Heroes seems to be pulling up Friday Night Lights because they put Friday Night Lights in the Studio 60 time slot.
Yeah, last night they tried an experiment, basically. They put it over there. And actually, Friday Night Lights, the full numbers actually didn't come out today. There's kind of a something funny with the Nielsen ratings. But it got a 9 rating, so... probably about 9 million viewers, which is bigger than it's had so far.
Well, that's a good sign. Is that a very expensive series? I know that, you know, Smith got yanked because it was, you know, wasn't doing too well in the ratings. You know,
Friday Night Lights has been, they've been actually talking exact numbers. It's kind of been the poster child thrown out with all of NBC's announcement about the layoffs, and they're going to go all to the game shows and reality TV.
Horrible.
So, it's about 2.5 million per episode.
Horrible.
And Studio 60 was actually substantially more expensive.
Get rid of that show. I mean, who cares about what's his name, Bradley Whitford? Who cares about the other jackass from Friends? What the hell is his name? Matthew Perry. Enough of him on Friends. Yeah, I mean, we got hit over the head with him. How many years on Friends? And the other one, how many years on West Wing? Those guys should go away for a while. Maybe go over to The Simpsons and do voices for a while.
I guess Sorkin won't come back to NBC, so there's kind of been a bit of keeping the show longer than it should have been.
And now Heroes is really doing well. I'm starting to get into that. I mean, the mythology is starting to fall into place a little bit more in the series, huh?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely ruling the time slot, and it's NBC's one big show.
Yeah,
new show of the season. So.
Yeah, and then something's going on. I mean, I heard rumors that what's his name with the long bangs? They're preparing him for something that's going to happen to his forehead or something. That's why they're growing, letting his hair grow down or something. Do you hear anything about that?
I don't know. I mean,
Milo, whatever the hell his name is.
You know, I see him every show. The guy needs a haircut.
Well, there's something going on. It's going to happen, I guess, later in the season. That they're going to need that to cover. Well, I guess I don't know what the hell's going to happen. You're going to hit in the head with something. They'll use that to cover up.
Yeah, we had that scene with future hero, saying, you look so different without the scar. So something's going to happen there.
Yeah.
But we're starting to hear some, we did an interview in Media Boulevard magazine, I guess it was a week ago, with the creator. So we're kind of starting to hear some rumors that maybe Horned Rim, that's what they're calling him, Horned Rim, Claire's father.
Oh.
You know, the guy, the bad guy.
Yes.
Maybe isn't such a bad guy.
Oh.
I guess we'll see some of that stuff coming out. But it was kind of interesting last night. We had Suresh's girlfriend, what's her name, Eden, I think, the woman that was lives in the same apartment building. She's actually working with Claire's father.
Oh, interesting, huh?
So, but yeah, we're actually hearing maybe he isn't such a bad guy, and we'll see how that plays out.
Well, you never know. And then Trick and a Treat, Jericho. I enjoyed 902 last week. They started the episode where they left off with the missiles flying over the air, and it turns out they were launched from Wyoming, and they flew over Jericho, and then a electronic EMP pulse went through and fried everything in town, right?
Yeah, no.
Everything with a board, including what's her name's watch. And how does a watch get blasted by an EMP? That's I'm questioning. How does a watch get? What's her name had a Rolex? And, oh, my watch got fried. But you know, I think she said that just so she'd have a somewhat of an excuse to get rid of the watch, so she can get what's his name the pesticide for his farm, huh?
Yeah, I think you might be right.
Yeah, that's
now,
I think.
Yeah, I think I've got to call bullshit on this episode though.
Ooh.
I think I told you this. My wife hates it when I watch TV shows and like comment. You know, I've got the engineering and science background, and it's like, you know, Jericho needs to hire a science advisor.
I thought
they need to hire me for that. They need to hire you to promote the show, and we'll be golden here.
Absolutely. Some of the TV.com message board, they're saying that, too. That and another thing bothers me, CBS doesn't have a message board for the series at all. You go on the Jericho website, and then the community button isn't working. And then, did you see the webisode, the webumentary they're doing now?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, it's okay. It's kind of, Hawkins is in the first one. It's dialogue and blah. And then they say it's a lot of product placement. I'm like, I said, I don't care. They could do it on the web. That's fine. On the web inventory is what they call them. As long as they're making money from it, they can plow into the series. I'm okay with it. Where was I going? I lost my train. A lot of them are saying at TV.com that the science is kind of out of whack. They're kind of stretching reality a little bit with some of the science part.
What happened last week with the EMP? I mean, they didn't really explain that. Was that one of our missiles? Like kind of going off, or we got another attack. I mean, EMPs are like very tactical weapons that you kind of launch over a city if you want to take it out. And, I don't know. Maybe Jericho's got something big.
Hawkins sent did something to send out that missile to cut off the town completely, huh?
Yeah, it could be.
It could be. And then next week, long live the mayor. Jake and his brother go off to find get some medicine from a neighboring town that didn't survive the radiation poisoning. He gets some medicine for their father, and they say, we're going to see a little bit of the outside world, what actually happened to the parts of this country, huh?
Right.
And Gray Anderson comes back too with some horror stories about what's going on in the rest of the what's he's seen in Denver. I guess he went off to. Think so,
yeah,
and
I think
then.
So.
And also stories he's heard about the rest of the country. So it's they're building. I mean, Carol, when she was on Carol Barbie, she said, the first handful of episodes of the first season setting things in place for the rest of the season. So I mean, maybe it's all going to fall in after a handful of episodes.
I have to admit, if you can kind of suspend the disbelief or get over the kind of the flaws in the science or the whatever. I mean, they're doing a really good job with the show. I mean, it's really enjoyable, and you get to see how these people deal with really harsh situations.
So, yeah, especially the horses being stolen by that guy Mitch and everything, who's got some animosity towards Jake. And next week we see that being played out a little bit more.
Now, one thing that kind of threw me in this last episode, the kid that's in the grocery store.
Dale.
Dale. What's he doing with that gang? I mean,
I think he just fell in. Well. I don't know. Was that the same part of that gang that was through the rock through the store, right?
Yeah, and weren't they the kids who were kind of running him down, making fun of him a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, I just think the kid's just lost because he lost his parents and what's her name doesn't want to be around him and I think it's part of that. Even Jake says, "What are you doing with these kids?" I mean, it's teenagers. Sometimes you fall into a bad crowd,
that kind of threw me. Kind of surprised by that.
Yeah, I like the episode.
Didn't they really had any build up to that.
No. Well, they jumped ahead 2 weeks, so we're led to believe that some of this happened during the 2 week jump.
Right.
And the ratings are doing well. They increased in the 18 to 49s. I think CBS let out a press release saying it went up like 5 or 6% from week earlier in the 18 to 49 year olds. So it's just pretty good. But they did lose, I think, 300,000 viewers though. So I mean. I don't know if that's got to do with the World Series that, you know, has rained out. People are still hoping it was on. Or I'd be curious to see what happens this week because Bones is back up again. Well, no, not Bones. What is Vanished up against it this week?
No, Vanished is on Friday night.
What's on up against
Bones? I think you're right.
Bones? Is it?
I mean, CBS is happy with the ratings. The show is, it got a lot of, you know, up front or in the summer, people were saying Jericho just won't make it. It's, you're not going to last. And it's kind of, you know, they're laughing all the way to the bank, I guess.
Well, yeah. And in the Adweek, I put that post up at the MediaBoulevard.com message board that Adweek today had a chart about the series getting the most, you know, interest on internet searches. Mm-hmm. And Jericho was like third, and Heroes was two. I don't know what one was. They didn't say what one was, of course. But it's interesting how those two shows are like side by side and all these, you know, things for the new season. They go from searches to this and this. And you always see Heroes, Jericho, Heroes, you know, one and two, two and three, all the way around. So it's interesting.
Yeah.
And my concern, because I put up in a couple of the boards that I was thinking that, you know, if they, you know, if it keeps losing a couple hundred thousand a week, I think, you know, the CBS should move the series over to the CW. That way, you know, it'll be comfortable. It'll be a comfortable, you know, three or four seasons over on the CW versus two seasons on CBS. You know?
Yeah, but you know, I mean, you know, they're losing a few hundred thousand here and there, but it's already, you know, it's staying pretty constant up around 11 million, and that's for this season, that's pretty good. I mean, for the freshman series, so
yeah, and
they might keep that in mind, but I don't think they want to. They really don't want to lose that. I mean, it's not like the, you know, Criminal Minds and the CSIs, but.
Well, I think it's helped Criminal Minds because now Criminal Minds has got a solid show in front of it, and it's like me. I sit there and watch Jericho, and I sit through Criminal Minds as well. I mean, it's a pretty good show. I never watched it before until I had something on in front of it. You know,
yeah.
And I think it's helping them, but I don't know. We'll see. And then the movies, Saw 3. We mentioned that in the opening of the program. They did a very strong $33 million dollars,
huh? Yeah, that's pretty amazing. The Saw movies, I mean, I don't know, I guess I wasn't too impressed with them. We actually had most of the cast and the producer and director last week in the magazine talking to us, but I mean, it's kind of amazing that they're still doing that well, but we're really in the dead season right now. I mean, you won't really see any big releases until Thanksgiving weekend, but they did announce today that Saw 4 is going to come out a year from today, actually. It's going to open on Halloween next year. So,
really?
It's a franchise that keeps going.
Yeah, do you have any ratings for Galactica from Friday? The chat room's asking. And who did a 0.9 Friday? That's not good at all. I imagine Galactica didn't do too much better than that, huh?
You know, I have not found ratings for Galactica this season. Mm-hmm. I mean, Koenig has got them a couple of times. I think Zaptuit had them, I think, for the first episode, but NBC Universal is being really coy, or Sci-Fi is being really coy this year about
the ratings. I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if they got to get the Galactica off of Friday, and maybe Who off of Fridays too. I mean, move them. You know, get them off that night. We can't to hear movies, rehash all their rerun movies on Friday nights. You know, and put the series on during the week. You know,
that's a bad night. But how many people are recording those on their TiVos? I mean.
Exactly. I mean, how people are taping it and the DVRs and all that stuff. So, I mean, who knows? I mean, you're kidding me. They're going to make a Saw 4? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Maybe O'Reilly's got a point. Did you watch Bill O'Reilly tonight on the O'Reilly Factor?
No, I didn't.
No, I might. Should I change the name of the program to the O'Mac Factor? No. the Factor. But he was ripping the movie apart. We shouldn't, you know, go see these movies. But now they're making a Saw 4?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like I said, it's going to open a year from today. They announced that. So.
Unbelievable.
And they'll keep going. I mean, it'll be like Friday the 13th. There'll be, you know, 20 episodes or something.
And then last weekend highlights of The Prestige. Supposed to be good. The soundtrack's supposed to be excellent again for The Prestige. The Departed, open season. And Flags of Our Fathers. Was that the last time we actually won a war? Was Flags of Our Fathers?
I think so.
And then coming this weekend, where are we at here?
What is this Barat?
Barat. I mean, he's the guy that went to the White House wanting to see Bush or something, wasn't he?
I guess so. But, you know, it's like, that's a, I think I call that a trick or a what the hell is that? What is this movie about?
I think it's like those Bean, like Bean type of movie. I don't know. Borat is a Kazakhstan's sixth most famous man and a leading journalist from the state-run TV network.
Yeah, that's getting all the press this week, but you know, it's like no one's in it. It's a.
It might be pretty good.
A foreign movie? Yeah.
It might be pretty good. I mean, I'll probably go see it.
Actually, yeah. If I can just interrupt here. It's the same guy who does Ali G, Sacha Cohen.
Oh.
Okay.
So Borat was one of the characters, and he just found so much humor in how angry he could get people. He just took it and made a movie.
Wow. Oh, it might be pretty good. It'd be a lot different than all these damn sequels that are out here, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And then Flushed Away, what did you say here? A CG anime comedy with Ian McClellan.
Hmm. Yeah, no. That's another, what the hell was that? You know, Ian McClellan is, I have to say, I think he's one of the best actors out there right now. I mean, I think the guy is great.
Oh, he's a good actor.
Gandalf in Lord of the Rings, Magneto and Dexman. I mean, he's, what is he, like in his 60s or so, and he just kind of, you know, started doing all these, like, really massive movies. But
yeah. Is that the name of the movie, Flushed Away?
What's that?
Is that the name of the movie, Flushed Away?
Yeah, it's apparently another, it's, I guess, Rats in a Sewer. My 4-year-old is kind of excited to see it. So.
Really? Is that how, I mean, rats living in a sewer or what?
They're flushed down the sewer. And I don't know. I mean, open season is, you know, it's up to, like, $50 million right now. That's another CG, you know, kid movie.
Huh. And then Santa
looks popular right now, and I'll probably go see it. But you know, Sir Ian is, I guess he's apparently the lead voice in this movie. So
well, good for him. And then Santa Claus 3, which they're promising is the last of these movies. I saw it in the ad. Come see the last of the Santa Claus movies. Thank God. You know what I mean? Don't go see it, and we'll see if we'll get another one, huh?
There's actually an interesting story this week, kind of on the internet about Ken Allen complaining about the prosthetics for the Santa Claus suit. It's like. Yeah, I kind of thought he should go talk to Jamie Bammer.
He's wearing a fat suit, that's right. And then actually, he told Dama last night he's got a meeting with a jump rope, and he said, keep jumping. So that's pretty good. Well, I mean, Tim Allen, you know what? He should go back to a TV series. I'm sorry, you know, his movies have been kind of, you know, he should go back to some kind of series.
Right.
What do you think?
It's kind of funny. I mean, here we are, you know, Halloween, they're already launching the Christmas movie.
Well, actually, I drove by. We have the Christmas Village here at the Opportunity Village, and they're already stringing up the lights already. I was whipping by, and I'm like, well, they already got this going up. It's amazing. It's amazing. So what's going on this week in the Media Boulevard magazine? Have we got a couple minutes left?
Well, we actually don't really have much this weekend. We like I said, we couldn't get in on Barat, so.
Really?
Get some more insiders with Friday Night Lights. Actually starting to get some of the cast members coming over and coming over to the message board, and apparently they're gonna kind of do something this weekend. So
interesting. Which cast members or
actually probably don't really want to say right now just in case they fall through, but the guy that was so popular a while back we talked about is probably gonna do something.
Taylor Kitsch.
I keep
saying if that show ever wants to increase its range, they better start having him run around in a damn G-string then, you know, because I know at work, all the girls, oh, my God, I'm like, they watch it just to see him, apparently. You know?
Yeah, well, I still think we need to get you in a G-string. Oh.
Are you kidding me?
So we'll charge.
Pay-per-view? Pay-for-not-viewing. Pay for not viewing. It'd be the end of LV Rocks for sure. That'll bring new notoriety to the website. What do you think? No, thank you. You know, I've been around guys in G-strings and tights for several years at the local wrestling promotion. I don't want to go through that again. I know what, you know, some of those guys should look in the mirror before they went out in those tights.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, sorry, but that's the way it is. But, anyway, what else is going on? So next week you'll be on it to be in the first hour at 7:30 Pacific, which would translate to your time zone. And then again, the second hour will be all election coverage. We'll have Stickings on, and then Joe Gandelman from the Modern Voice would do a election review. And hopefully, Stickings said he'll drop in some results as we go along through the first hour. It should be interesting.
Yeah, Yeah, it should be a fun night. I'm actually looking forward to it.
Yes, and if the Democrats don't win it, I'll bring my gun work. You'll see me blow my brains out right here on the program. That'd be something for the viewing, listening audience. Huh? So, and then what else? Can't think of anything else. So anyway, Dr. Nate Ringer, we'll let you go.
Okay.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, thanks.
And that was the mad rocket scientist of the program, Dr. Nate Ringer, with our pop culture discussion. I'd like to thank him for being on the program, as well as, of course, Dr. Koenig Rules and Michael J.W. Stickings of the Reaction blog, and also the John Edwards One America Committee blog.